you know, I only get to do this joke once a year, and by golly, I'm going to do it again. Seems a traveling businessman found himself way down south. Wandered into a local convenience store, was buying a pack of chewing gum, and he happened to notice the lady behind the counter, and he got to talking with her. He said, "I just come by your lovely church here in town, and I happened to notice that the wise men were dressed in fireman suits. Why is that?" And the lady looked at him and she said, "Ain't you never read your Bible?" He said, "I'm a Bible salesman. Yes, I've read my Bible." She said, "Well, then you would know that the wise men came from afar." Don't groan. That's a funny joke. I'm going to stay up here and tell another one. Oh, it's with Christian love. I don't even want to preach. After that, oh my goodness. So with joy and love in your heart, let us give as the ushers come forward. Yeah, we've got visitors. I'm not used to looking out and seeing this many people, and I'm used to everybody that's usually here knows the routine. So, good morning.
Good morning.
You all told them what to do, didn't you? I don't think we can get away with that, though, with all these visitors it's a little bit too much for me to bear. There's a lot of people that ain't never been here, so get back up, greet your friends and neighbors, say good morning and Merry Christmas to them. Let's go. Now that's a little bit more like it. Good morning. I'm glad to see you all this morning. And to our visitors, you don't know what a blessing this is. It's nice to hear the extra voices. And if y'all could have been up here to hear Silent Night, oh my goodness. And what a blessing it was to see the children this morning. I'm telling you what, you couldn't put a price on that. I'm hoping wherever Greg went to, it gets up on our website in video form so we can share that. That was just too precious. Amen?
Amen.
It is almost Christmas, and later on this week, Denny Shipp has a birthday, and he's back there hidden. Make him come out here for a minute, Greg. He helps out back in the sound room. On the count of three, I want us to all say happy birthday to Dennis. Ready? One, two, three. Happy birthday, Dennis. I know he heard it. My golly, joys and concerns. I'm so proud up here today. I think I'm going to pop. What is on your heart today? I guess I should be a little bit thankful that I'm even here today. The snow on Thursday, I was out running in it, coming out of Hancock, fully loaded, 80,000 pounds, a car spun out in front of me. And I prepared for the absolute worst because I had two choices. Hit her, I was going off the side of the road, off the bank. And the only thing I did was start getting ready. And at the last moment, and I just got done a little while ago talking about the blessings God's given me. And I watched this poor woman struggle with this car. And at the last second, the car made another turn. And I missed her by a foot. Her car straightened out and she got over the side of the road. And I was able to finally pick back up the cupcake I was eating and get back to driving. I was worried. Other joys or concerns here this morning? If there are none, as I ask always, as we come forward, bowed heads in a moment of prayer and join our hearts together, if there is something too great on your heart to speak, something that needs to be only shared between you and Him, just a hand up and down as we come forward. Thank you. Let us join our hearts together. Heavenly Father, Your grace abounds. Wherever we look, we find it. Wherever we don't look, it's still there. We are touched this morning to see childlike faith, innocence, beauty, and glory radiated from those young minds. And we're thankful, Father, that the young minds that we saw this morning were shaped by those who care about their beginning and brought them forward, Father. Thank you. For that is a blessing and a lesson. Let us learn from it. Let us take away these hardened hearts, these cynical feelings, these aggravating moments, Father. And remember what we're being taught. The love and the peace and the stillness. Lead us through that, Father. We will celebrate the birth of Your Son, Jesus. We will celebrate the birth of Your Son, Jesus. And what He means to each and every person in this room cannot be measured. Thank you for giving us that gift. We ask you to keep up and lift those that are not here today, held back by sickness, by the physical infirmities of this body, that are not able to be here. Lift them up, Father. And for those that are traveling and committed in other areas, we pray for your peace upon them as well. We're thankful for those who have traveled to be here and ask that you commit your care to them for a safe return. As always, Father, we're thankful for those who teach, for those who shape and lift up from the youngest mind to the most seasoned mind. We're thankful for the doctors and nurses that look over and care and provide for us, and we are especially ever mindful of those that put themselves out there to rescue us when we found ourselves in harm's way. And so for the police officer and the fire and rescue, thank you, Father. Bless them, lift them up, keep them and care for them. And for those who serve us here at home or thousands of miles away, those who stand and say, I give you the right to be in church today, be with them, Father, with their families. Strengthen them. Return them home safely, please. And we pray for this country, that there be found a way, a purpose, a direction that continues to turn itself back to you. Lift them up, Father. Be with us as we pray the way Jesus taught us to. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture lesson today obviously comes from Luke chapter 2, the first 20 verses. If there's a Bible in front of you in the pew, you can find it on page 1590. Is it already written? What are you pointing at? We forgot to sing. Oh yeah, we did. Well, I can't do anything with that. 1590, Luke chapter 2, the birth of our Savior. Our story, yet again, in your pew Bible, you can find it if you care to follow along. I almost wish I had Jonathan back up here again. That was all right. I should have got him to come up here and read again. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee in Judea to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married with him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. And there was shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. In verse 20, if you have your Bibles open, read along out loud with me the last verse, verse 20, please. The shepherds return, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. May God bless this passage to our hearts, to our minds, to our understanding. Would you please join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, open our hearts. Set aside our labors. Let us not focus on what is to come yet today, but right here, right now. Let us be thankful that we have this place to be. I ask your blessing upon us as we hear these words, that they be from you, not from me, that we might break them open, gain greater understanding, walk closer to you, and have a greater relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whose name I pray. Amen. I have, over the years, come to know a very few basic things. And what I have learned can be summed up in just this way. I know absolutely nothing. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. I have, over the years, learned to understand that everything that I think I know, I don't know anything. Really. At least the way it used to be. At least that's the way I used to see the world. At least that's the way I used to have things laid out in front of me. That's the way I viewed Christmas. I used to live through Christmas after Christmas. I'm sure there's some out there that still do. Live through Christmas after Christmas after Christmas. Just trying to figure out who to get what, where to take it to, whose house to eat at for breakfast, whose house to eat at for lunch, who had snacks in the afternoon, and who was going to give me the best return on my investment. That's Christmas to a lot of people. That was Christmas to me. Used to sit around and worry, if you had Christmas on Saturday, would you get Friday off with pay or Monday off with pay? How many times have you had yourself thought in that? Well, Christmas is on Saturday. We don't get a day off from work. So what? Dairy farmers never do. That's the way I used to live. And that was it. That's how I viewed Christmas. And friends, that's how a lot of the world views Christmas. I don't go shopping unless it's at Tractor Supply. I don't do well shopping. I am not a shopper. I am thankful now that you can pick up a catalog and go, yep, that and that. But I get drugged to the store anyway every now and then, and I stand there in utter amazement at how much people put on buying something. It's not Christmas. Oh, don't get me wrong. Giving gifts is good. Receiving them is fun too. But it's not Christmas. It's not what happened in the manger. And that was it. In the manger became Christmas, became the celebration of the child, became our opening act to the world. Christmas is a time to bring joy, a time to bring love and a laughter. And in this world today, you can get joy, you can get love, you can get laughter. All you have to do is spend the right amount. Well, for as tight as I am, nobody's going to be laughing at me. Wait, that didn't come out right. Christmas didn't start in the store. It started in the manger. The season is not there. It's here. It's at the foot of the cross where the cradle waits. That's why I didn't know anything at one point in time. But it began changing. Something came along that turned everything from wants to care to actuality of looking at the Christmas season. And I didn't get that just because I got married and had my attitude changed a whole lot, although that certainly was a help along that path and continues to be, the profound effect began by an absolute rediscovery, a reinvesting of my life on the day I refound Jesus Christ. He never moved, I did. He never left the manger, I did. He's always been there waiting on me. And today we think about the opening act in the manger. I always love seeing that at this time of year. Chris built a Christmas tree that I've got a picture of and I absolutely love. And y'all didn't get to see it, but I'll tell you about it. He's got a cross. Is it in your house? Draped in purple with a manger at the bottom, just like my little button here. It all starts in the manger. That's where Christmas should be found. It became my very existence for reinventing my life right here. As I started to see it all over again, I start to see Christmas every year as a completely different thing. It becomes a beginning. A beginning. A proclamation for you and for me that Jesus was born today to save us. Don't let the holiday get in the way of the reason. There was a thing on the television set the other day where they were talking about how you should approach the Christmas season. How much money you should spend on each person on your list in order to have a budgeted Christmas, and what you should do, and how you should put out an allotment of time, and where you should be and what you should do. And as I'm watching that thing, I kept waiting for, and on this period of time, you got to take your once a year trip to church so that you can show up and get your good points, and it never came. We've slipped away. We've walked away. We've forgotten what happened in the manger. To put it simply, the death of our sins started on Christmas morning. The removal of our life started on Christmas morning. There we are allowed to see the Savior at His beginning, at His birth in the manger. I know I've told this story before, but now I try to think about what it was like. And I remember that day in We were in there for so long I can't remember. I had been at a business meeting. It was, 2 feet of snow on the ground? We didn't have any work, and I had planned to come home, put my feet up, get the hot chocolate going, watch something, relax. And I come walking through the door on this moment. And some of you have heard this story, and some of you haven't. But I walk through the door, and there stands my beautiful, lovely, very pregnant with twins wife. All fresh from her shower, looking like a daisy. I came bouncing through the door. I said, "Hi, hon." She goes, "It's time." And I went, "For what?" She said, "It's time." "For what?" Oh, what do you mean? What's going on?" And I start looking around for evidence. I told you, I'm not that smart. Keep this in mind. She said, "It's time to go to the hospital. Don't be stupid." "Oh, okay, I'll call the doctor." "Well, I've already done that." "Well, what did he say?" "He said, wait." "No, I'm calling the doctor." And I called the doctor, and the doctor says, "Wait." And I said, "No, we're going to the hospital. I ain't waiting around here and then have to deliver them myself. I'm not built for that." And so I hustle her. Let me rephrase that. I very gently walk her out to the truck because she told me to. "Don't push me like that." "That's right, you're having a baby. Get you in the truck, are you okay, hon?" Put the suitcase in there. And then I jump in that Ford pickup truck and I put my foot down on the floor, promptly back out of that driveway, take out the neighbor's tree next door, and away we head for the hospital. Smoke flying, snow flying, me just wrestling that wheel. Mario Andretti. And she's sitting over there the whole time going, "It ain't coming yet." We race to the hospital, and I dare a single cop to stop me. I'm going to run all the way to Frederick Memorial. And we get there, and I slide that truck to the front. And I jump out of the truck and I run through them doors and the guy goes, my wife's having a baby. He goes, okay. Now! He goes, okay. And they're so calm and I'm about ready to fall over backwards. And they come out and they get her and they say, go park the truck. Oh yeah, I'll do that. And I go park the truck. And then I run inside and I can't find her. She's already gone up to her room. They make me fill out paperwork, right? People, you got to go fill out paperwork to have a baby. Then we go in and everything slows down. And we sit and we wait. And we sit and we wait. And there's people coming in and they're patting her and they're rubbing her and they're asking her what she needs. Nobody paying attention to me over in the corner. And we wait. And 1 hour turns into 4. And 4 hours turn into 8. And we wait. You know, we should have known at that point just how ornery them boys were going to be. The doctor finally comes in and says, they ain't coming. We're going to have to take them out. What? Oh, okay, I got you. And we go in. Now things aren't funny anymore. Because they take my wife away from me. And they put her in a room and they dress me up. And they say, now we're going to prepare you for what you'll see. You ain't got to worry about me, man. I'm a farm boy, dairy farmer. I deliver calves in the middle of the night. I've seen everything. Until I saw that. And doctors and nurses are swarming around her. My children are in distress. The umbilical cord has wrapped around Buck's throat and he's losing the battle. It ain't funny anymore. And we wait. And they go into high speed. And within 5 minutes of being in that room, out comes the first baby. Not breathing. Shortly thereafter, they got him going. The next baby immediately. And again, he goes. And suddenly, it's all over with. They turn around to me and say, okay, now you go to this room and see your children. And meanwhile, they work on my wife. I did make sure, just so you know, as they came out to tell her that they were both boys. I said, look, honey, they're both boys. And I run for this next room where they are wrapping my children up in the claws and laying them in bassinets and looking at me. And the first nurse, as I hit the door, goes, okay, Dad. My father here? Oh, me. Put a hat on. Ask Wendy what I did. I put a red hat on one and a yellow hat on the other. They look like a little ketchup and mustard bottle. We still have them. Next thing you know, I'm a father for real. Remember that, guys? Remember that, girls? Women? Nothing prepared me for that. Nothing. I had a team of doctors and nurses around me. Everything was real. Everything was happening. We had people calling people, calling people. The babies are on the way. The announcements are being made. And yet it was nothing compared to what went on in the manger. Joseph and Mary delivered a child. Animals everywhere. Their smell mixed. Laying in there in straw. Mary soaked in sweat. Birthing Jesus. Joseph holding on to her. Face it, guys, there's nothing else we can do. Our Savior being born in the most simple, simplistic, unimaginable, dirty place. No doctors, no monitors, no can I get you some ice chips? Nothing. Nothing in that manger except for Joseph, Mary, and that baby coming out. And then suddenly, how's it happen? He's here. A cry, a spark, and life begins. and our Savior just enters into the world in that manger. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's what we know. Remember. Yes, we look at all the things and we stop and we look, and isn't it beautiful? And we see all the figurines, and I'll take nothing from them because it causes me to remember. But when we look at the manger, brothers and sisters, I want you to remember that royalty arrived in a place it was never, ever should have been. Meant to be, but we would have had it done differently, wouldn't we? And yet the world in that moment had not a clue that right there in that manger, life was going to change. You heard it read when Toddy read it over here. And one of the things that he read that was so beautiful was, this man lived on the earth for 33 years, born of a woman, lived as a man for 33 years, and 2,000 plus years later, he still affects our lives. Thank God for the birth of Jesus. Amen. Verse 8. We see what happens next. We see that the announcement is made. When my boys hit the street, when they came into the world, we had cell phones and computers and friends calling friends and friends and friends and friends. And pretty soon at the baby window, whatever you call it there at the hospital, was a whole bunch of people I know with their faces up against the glass like this. Where's the baby? Not in the manger. And there were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks. Shepherds living, sleeping on the ground, watching over whatever. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. Brought the announcement that here, in the most unlikely conditions, in the world's most unsanitary environment, in a manger, we couldn't even let a pregnant woman come in the door of the inn to have a bed. Our Savior Jesus Christ was born, and to Him we owe everything. I love that. I love looking at a manger with that thought in my head. That this crying, cooing, happy little baby, whatever direction he was going to save me, even though I wasn't born yet. He knew I was coming. He knew you were coming. He knew you needed Him. And the shepherds get to see it. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born, and He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign unto you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace to men on whom His favor rests." In the manger. That same Christ that was born, that very same child, brings us constantly back at the manger when He looks at you and He says, "I came to save you. I came for you." If we look ahead in His life and we see what He wanted out of us, all we need to do is pick up the story of the most unlikely in the Bible, Zacchaeus. That's hard to believe on Christmas Day I talk about him, but it's the truth. Because in that sinner's house, and we all know the story, I'm not going to sing the song. Zacchaeus was a wee little... I told you I wasn't. Zacchaeus was the sinner of sinners. He wasn't just a tax collector. He was a thief and a cheat, and he was a snake. And all he wanted to do was see Jesus, and Jesus said, "Hey, come here. Take me to your house and feed me." And everybody got bent out of shape over it. And Jesus made that statement. "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." And it all started in the manger. all started. Our life, our everything has never really been ours, not since He got here. Even when we choose not to be near Him, even when we have decided, I don't want to go to church on Sunday morning, I got better things to do. Even when I don't need no religion. Even when we stand right there in His face and say, I don't believe Jesus Christ was the Savior. We still belong to Him. He still waits to bring us back. He still waits to give us that same salvation that started. Don't lose sight of the bed of straw that baby was born in. Don't lose sight of the Christmas season. Don't let it catch you trying to go crazy at the store. We start to see Jesus as what He was, a gift. There's an old story about long ago there was a king in Persia who was a wise and good king. And he loved his people and he wanted to know how they live and he wanted to know about their hardships, but he was removed from them. And often he dressed in the clothes of a working man or a beggar and he would go to the homes of the poor and beg for them. No one he visited knew that he was their ruler. And one time he visited a man so poor, the man lived in the cellar of a house. He ate coarse food, but he spoke to him cheerfully and gave him compassion. And then he left, and later he came back and visited the poor man again, and he dropped away the garb, and he said, It is I, your ruler. It is I, the king of the country. And the king thought the man would surely look at him and say, I would like something. I would like a gift from you. I would like some favor. But instead, this poor man said, you left your palace, your glory, to visit me in this dark, dreary place. You ate the coarse food I ate. You brought gladness to my heart. To others you have given rich gifts. To me you have given yourself from the manger. And this is what we got. There's a, you know, you've heard the saying, I'm sure, if what we needed had been information, God would have sent us an educator. Right? If what we had needed was technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, and so God sent us a Savior in the manger. And this is what we miss today. The fact that all the destruction that we bring on ourselves, and we can do it, all the things that we can do to ourselves goes away in an instant when we remember the manger and the forgiveness that begins right there. That leads to right here. That in the manger, the words are being formed in this baby. You know what those words are? You are forgiven. Wow. Amen. That in those mangers, in that manger, we can hear these words being formed. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It started in the manger. Christ was content with a stable when He was born, so that you, me, us, can have a mansion when we die. Our life does not have to be the way of the world. Christmas reminds us, fall in love with each other again. Don't be afraid to do it. That's why I make you get out of the seats and hug each other. It's good stuff. It works for me. We can choose to read this old story again and again and be moved. We can choose to see things just as how Jesus wants them. We can choose to see that Jesus left His throne, that God said, Son, go ahead. There was a thing sent out on the internet here about a couple of weeks ago, and I happened to catch it this week. It was called a flash mob singing Handel. Anybody hear about this story? I can see nobody did. Imagine this, if you will. Good, I get to set the scene. Imagine this, if you will. You're in the local mall, in a food court. There was a similar scene in the paper this morning, but it happened up in New York first. And without warning, this girl stands up and starts singing Handel's Messiah. And then another, and then another, and then another. And 100 people get up from this chorus and start singing Handel's Messiah in the middle of this absolutely unbelievable busy mall in a food court. And they change things for a moment. They stop and remember the Christmas season and what happened in the manger. They give that spirit. They give that love. People are crying. I was crying. It was fantastic to see. It was not about gifts or money or wrapping or anything. It was about remembering that this day is for Jesus Christ. That spirit that we remember is all about the blessings we have been given. Our life was sustained forever with His unending salvation. That we are numbered among His, that we have a family. And home between father and mother and child. Whatever you can find wrong in this season, if you have that at home, you have everything. That we have a family right here. Look around you right now. No, I mean physically. Look around you. Look back over the bench. Look forward across the bench. Look at your family. Look at who you are with. And who you belong to. We have this family. We have this love. These brothers and sisters. We have been given a place, a home eternal. And it was right here, right now, in the manger. At the birth. As He came into the world. We were given that. The angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." In a poem written by Joseph Bailey, he writes, "Praise God for Christmas. Praise Him for the incarnation, for the Word made flesh. I will not sing of shepherds watching flocks on frosty nights, or angel choristers. I will not sing of a stable bear in Bethlehem, or lowing oxen, or a wise man trailing a star with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Tonight, I will sing praise to the Father who stood on heaven's threshold and said farewell to His Son as He stepped across the stars to Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And I will sing praise to the infinite eternal Son who became most finite a baby, who would one day be executed for my crime. I praise Him in the heavens. I praise Him in the stable. I praise Him in my heart. For in this stable, my life began. For in this stable, your life began. For in this manger, Jesus was born. For in this point, for in this place, Christmas was started. And that is our reason for saying hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. Amen?
Amen.
Say it with me. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest forever and ever for that Son born in the manger on Christmas Day. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, excite us. Burn it within our hearts. Lift us up and take us forward. Bring us out from behind hiding that we may proclaim Christmas is the birth of Jesus Christ. Lift us up as we go from here and prepare to celebrate that day. Let us not fall praise to listening to people who say we're doing it wrong or it's not right or this, that, or the other. We're praising the birth of your Son. We cannot go wrong. I ask for blessings upon all those gathered here today. And not just here, but in churches everywhere that are walking out thinking about what happened that day in the manger. I pray for our guests that are here visiting us, Father, that they start to hear the message of your Son. I pray for those who need it. But especially I ask that you hear our voices as we give thanks, that we can look at that manger and believe in it, understand it, and love it for what it gave to us. Your Son saving us. All of God's children said, Amen. If you are not sure, if you are lost, if you need prayer, if you need to know Christ, if saving your soul is on your heart today, I beg you to come forward as we sing this last song and be strengthened in prayer and help find a way to know my Savior better. I ask you not to leave if it is upon your heart.
Please stand, turn to number 270, Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King.
Let every heart prepare Him room.
And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
Joy
blessings in the days to come, that your feet be made light to walk this week. That if it is upon your heart that you seek out Jesus and find His eternal truth, that you come to know Him, His love and perfect understanding. I pray for those that have a week to come in which they will be tried, that they be blessed, and that we all meet together again. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now and forevermore. Amen.